The secret behind instant messaging, video identification attack against complex protocols. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Alex Jonassy. Picture this. You're sitting at a coffee shop connected to the Wi-Fi. You're scrolling through your phone and watching a few videos that friends have shared with you on WhatsApp. You think you're safe because the videos are encrypted during transmission. The content is private, right? Well, maybe not as private as you think. What if I told you that someone monitoring the network traffic could still identify exactly which videos you're watching, even though they can't see the actual video content? That's exactly what today's research demonstrates. It's both technically fascinating and genuinely concerning for our privacy. On today's episode, we'll walk through how this attack works, why traditional video identification methods don't apply to instant messaging apps, and how these researchers built a framework that can identify encrypted video content with over 98% accuracy. We'll also explore what this means for your privacy and what, if anything, you can do about it. But first, let's talk about why this problem exists in the first place. Most people assume that if their messaging app uses encryption, their communications are private. And to be fair, they mostly are. An attacker cannot directly read your messages or see your video content. But encryption doesn't hide everything. It can't hide the metadata about your communications. Things like when you send messages, how much data you're transferring, and crucially, the patterns in how that data flows across the network. This is where side-channel attacks come into play. Instead of breaking the encryption directly, these attacks analyze the patterns and characteristics of encrypted traffic to infer what's happening underneath. In the case of video streaming platforms like YouTube or Netflix, researchers have already shown that you can identify which videos people are watching by analyzing encrypted traffic patterns. These platforms use something called DASH, Dynamic Adaptive Streaming over HTTP, which breaks videos into segments and transmits them at variable bit rates. Each video has a unique fingerprint based on how these segments are sized and sequenced. So, even when they're encrypted, you can still see the size and timing patterns of the data chunks, and that's enough to identify specific videos. This is stuff we already knew. But here's the thing. Instant messaging apps don't use DASH. WeChat, WhatsApp, Telegram, and other messaging platforms use completely different transmission protocols, many of them proprietary. This means that all the existing research on video identification doesn't apply. We should have no expectation that the attack techniques that work against YouTube would work against WeChat. In fact, we should assume the opposite, that they don't. That's the gap these researchers are trying to close. In this paper, they attempt to build a general framework that can identify video content in instant messaging apps, regardless of which transmission protocol the app uses. And, as we'll see, they largely succeeded at that. Let's dive into how they did it. The core challenge is that different messaging apps handle video transmission in wildly different ways. WeChat sometimes uses GQuick, Google's version of Quick, but other times it uses entirely different protocols. WhatsApp uses standard HTTPS with TLS 1.3. Some apps use custom proprietary protocols. Each of these approaches encrypts, segments, and transmits video data differently. To make matters more complicated, unlike video streaming services, messaging apps often compress videos on the server side when they're uploaded. This means the video file you receive might not be exactly the same size as the one that was sent. However, and this is key, the researchers found that when you download a video to watch it, the size is relatively stable. That stability is what makes this attack possible. So here's how the attack works at a high level. The authors built two separate fingerprint databases, one for encrypted videos and one for plain text videos. They then captured real network traffic from people downloading and watching videos through WeChat and WhatsApp. From this traffic, they extracted what they call transmission fingerprints. These are features representing the video's size and transmission characteristics as seen in the captured traffic. They matched these against their databases to identify which specific video was being watched. But how exactly? Let's walk through it. For encrypted videos, they use the total size of the video as the fingerprint. This might seem overly simplistic, but it turns out to be remarkably effective. While encryption adds some padding and overhead, the percentage of extra bytes compared to the total video size is negligible. So, even though the encrypted version is slightly larger than the original, it's predictably larger, and that pattern is consistent enough to be useful for identification. For plain text videos, they use the length of the original data packets as the fingerprint. Since there's no encryption or compression happening during transmission, they can directly analyze the packet structure to extend the original video characteristics. But extracting these transmission fingerprints isn't straightforward, especially for encrypted traffic. The authors had to reverse engineer the transmission protocols used by different messaging apps to figure out exactly how much overhead each protocol adds. Take WeChat's GQuick protocol, for example. When WeChat transmits a video, it first encapsulates the video data using HTTP, then encrypts and segments it using GQuick, then transmits it via UDP packets. Each layer adds its own headers and control information. To get back to the original video size, you need to subtract out all that extra data. The researchers figured out exactly how much overhead each protocol adds by analyzing thousands of video transmissions and using machine learning to identify the patterns. For GQuick, they determined that the undisclosed ciphertext control portion adds 17 bytes per packet, in addition to plain text control bytes. For HTTPS with TLS, they relied on prior research showing that each encrypted fragment adds 22 bytes of undisclosed ciphertext control information. And from there, they were able to work backwards from the encrypted traffic to estimate the original video size. They also had to account for the fact that their calculations wouldn't be perfect. Network conditions, compression variations, and other factors introduce small discrepancies. To handle this, they applied a correction factor based on the average deviation they observed in their training data, then used a matching algorithm that allows for small variations when searching their fingerprint database. So, did this really work or not? The experimental results were actually pretty striking. Testing on WeChat, they achieved 98% accuracy for encrypted videos transmitted over GQuick and 100% accuracy for plain text videos. For WhatsApp encrypted videos transmitted over HTTPS, they hit 99.5% accuracy. These numbers are impressive, and the takeaways are rather concerning, especially when you think about how little data they needed to mount this attack. They only needed to capture the traffic from a single video download to identify it. They didn't need to intercept multiple copies or wait for patterns to emerge over time. One download, one identification. So what does this mean for you as someone who uses messaging apps? First, it's important to understand the scope of this attack. For this to work, an attacker would need to be in a position to monitor your network traffic. This means they'd need to control your Wi-Fi network, your internet service provider, or some other network infrastructure between you and the messaging service. This isn't something that can be done remotely by someone on the other side of the world. It requires relatively close network access. Second, the attacker would need to build a database of fingerprints for videos they want to identify. This means they'd need to know which videos to look for ahead of time. This system can't identify arbitrary, unknown videos, only ones they've previously analyzed and cataloged. That said, if you're a politician, journalist, activist, dissident, or anyone else who might be targeted by a sophisticated surveillance program, this research should give you pause. A government that controls internet infrastructure could potentially use these techniques to identify what kind of content you're consuming, even through encrypted messaging apps. The same applies to corporate networks. Your employer could theoretically identify which videos you're watching on company Wi-Fi. And unfortunately, there aren't many great defenses against this kind of attack, for now. The core issue is that it exploits fundamental characteristics of how data is transmitted over networks. A potential mitigation would be to use a VPN to hide your traffic patterns from local network observers, though this only shifts the problem to your VPN provider. You could also avoid watching videos on untrusted networks, though that's not always practical. More fundamentally, messaging app developers could implement additional obfuscation techniques, like adding random padding to video transmissions or breaking large videos into smaller, uniformly sized chunks. But these approaches come with significant performance and bandwidth costs. This paper is a good example of how to systematically reverse engineer complex protocols and build practical attacks based on that analysis. The researchers did a lot of work to understand exactly how different messaging apps handle video transmission, and that allowed them to build a robust framework that works across multiple protocols and platforms. If you're interested in diving deeper into their analysis, seeing their experimental setup in detail, or understanding the mathematical formulations they used for fingerprint extraction, I'd highly recommend downloading the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. This episode was performed by myself, Alex Jonassy. It was written by Malcolm Diggs and produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. That's all for now. I'll see you next time.